Do you think this is ethical?
I was just thinking. Wait, that's what we're talking about today.
Welcome to the Utah Real Estate Show podcast, the show where two agents and a lender teach real estate best practices by talking through mistakes we've seen and made.
So agents on the selling side, act in good faith. Agents on the buying side, act in good faith. The lender acts in good faith. Everyone is trying to represent their intention as accurately as possible, which is why we have written documents. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to represent that in good faith. Now, what happens is if somebody's they're alleging that they're acting in good faith, but they're really not acting in good faith, there's going to come a time where that becomes evident. And one or other, or someone is going to pick up on it and say, I don't think you are acting in good faith.
Yeah. So like the golden rule is like, often when I teach about ethics, they say a golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you're thinking, how can we hide this? How can we suppress this?
Imagine that happening to you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Utah Real Estate Show. I'm Tyler Kazir, Utah Real Estate Agent.
Jason Christiansen, Mortgage Lender.
Eric Wist, Ethical Real Estate Agent.
Ooh, that was clever. Today, in today's episode, we are talking about ethics, specifically the code of ethics. Who's bound to it? Who's not? What's ethical? What's not? And how do you know?
There's a great clip in Pirates of the Caribbean that totally sums this up.
What is it?
So, like, Elizabeth Swan, after they take her from the island, and she's like, you gotta return me to shore.
A bargain.
Steal the guns and store. Pickle them in, set the flasks, and make good the clear one.
You have to take me to shore, according to the code of the Order of the Brethren.
Your return to shore was not part of our negotiations nor our agreement, so I must do nothing. And secondly, you must be a pirate for the Pirate's Code to apply, and you're not. And thirdly, the code is more what you'd call guidelines than actual rules. Welcome aboard the Black Pearl, Miss Turner.
And then third, it's more of guidelines, which is like, anyway.
That's true. That's true. Because so ethics, there's not, I mean, it's gray area.
Yeah. Well, there's so much because, like, if you have an incompetent agent, you have to prove that an incompetent agent said that they were competent for them to be unethical.
Well, let's start off with code of ethics of who does it apply to first? Okay, is there an order of it?
Yes, sure.
And sure. Where are those abilities are? Where do they lie? So what's number one?
Well, so no, the code of ethics is provided by the National Association of Realtors. It gives you a hint because it does not apply to agents at large. It applies to
real estate attorneys. Don't necessarily need to keep NAR's code of ethics. They should be operating ethically.
Correct.
But they're not bound by the National Association of Realtors code of ethics.
Right.
Neither are mortgage lenders.
No.
Yeah, that's true. So that's where it comes from, is the National Association of Realtors, or if you ever hear a real estate agent say it, the NAR. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the NAR provides the code of ethics.
Which is why it's a big deal when they say, I'm a realtor.
Right.
That's why that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it matters. And we're bound to a much higher standard than a traditional just real estate agent. So now that said, the code of ethics revolves around three things. Duties mm-hmm. to clients. Mm-hmm. That's the highest responsibility.
Yes, and there's a reason.
Right. You want to talk about the reason now, or you want to go into the other things?
Well, because realtors should be taking care of the clients. The clients don't know what should be going on, right?
And they hired you.
And exactly. So a realtor has a fiduciary duty to their client, and that is where the biggest duty lies. They sign an agreement saying, I'm going to represent you to the best of my ability. Now, closely after that, they have a duty to
the public or to prospects, like people who are not their clients, but who are out in the world at large.
So they're going to take care of their client first, mm-hmm. but they're going to take care of their client not screwing over anybody else. Sorry, that's mortgage jargon.
That's mortgage jargon. Nice.
And then the last duty is to
agents. Other agents that are out there. It's assumed that other agents know what is happening, that they know the rules, that they mm-hmm. know the liabilities of their decisions.
A level of competency.
There's a level of competency that is assumed. And so the lowest responsibility of any real estate agent or realtor is to other real estate agents or other realtors.
So back up on that very beginning part that you said of having a fiduciary duty, we were just in a listing appointment. It was a listing slash buyer appointment. It was kind of everything. And the client, it's the first time this has ever happened. Client looked directly at us and said, why should we use you? And what keeps, how do I know that you are going to be a good agent? And Tyler and I looked at each other it was very direct. We went, well, it's because we have a buyer broker and a listing agreement in place and we are fiduciary bound. And he threw his hand back and went, that's right.
That's what we're talking
about. It was like the first client that knew what that meant right off the bat without having to explain what it is. I was very impressed. But that's a big deal. How would you define that?
Wait, and that's why we're doing this video. Like, you guys need to know. The general public needs to know.
Yes.
As real estate agents, as realtors, this is a big deal.
Well, and that's one reason why you go like and subscribe to these videos and share them with your friends is so we can get this information out to make everybody a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can actually define the word fiduciary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're actually referring to here is actually a very specific area of ethics that is enshrined or embodied in the agency agreement. Because those are your fiduciary responsibilities, and these are things like loyalty to your client, obedience to their directives, confidentiality, those kind of things, right? Those are the core benefits that are afforded to all clients, and that is why we have the highest responsibility to our clients.
Yes.
To the public, we don't have that same responsibility, but we have a responsibility to be honest.
And as a fiduciary, and I'm your client, your interest is more my interest than it is yours. If you could make a little more money by doing something different that was not in my best interest,
right,
you will take less money.
Yep.
So, for instance, like a guy says, a potential client goes to a real estate agent, says, should I buy now or wait? And the agent says, the market is crashing. Hold off.
Yep, you need to wait. Even though that agent can make a commission.
That agent just lost his commission.
Yep.
That's fiduciary duty.
Or another one that just happened to us recently, like, hey, I want to sell my house at this amount. And we know it's not going to sell at that amount. And so when we talked to the individual and we finally got them under contract, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars below that amount.
Let's just jump into Article 11 really quick.
Yes.
This is one of the things as a consumer, as not a realtor or a real estate agent, this is one thing I want you to know. Go.
Well, Article 11 talks about CMAs, and a CMA is a comparative market analysis. And that basically says, I know how to value property, right? And let's say that, for example, in this example, Eric is gonna be a commercial guy, I'm gonna be a residential guy. I've done tons of residential property. Now I want to help my client transition into commercial. I don't know a lot about commercial. I do, but in their scenario.
Yeah, yeah. But as a client, you ask your real estate agent, how much expertise and experience do you have in this particular field, in where I live, in this type of property?
Right.
Because a big difference between your starter home and your luxury home,
right,
or residential or commercial.
Yeah, and you can go back and look at all these previous videos that we had talking about the value of appraisals and how to rate different homes and do different stuff. And this is where, like, if you had this agent who you've known for a long time who has always taken care of you,
great guy.
Now you're trying to get into this commercial space. Now, there's nothing wrong with that agent staying a part of that transaction. One, if they disclose, hey, I don't really know much about
that's the key, right?
Commercial. I know pretty good. We'll see which way you go. But you know I take care of you. I will learn if I need to. That disclosure was done. Second, they tell you, hey, if we get to a point that I am not there, I will go get another agent and have them work with us. Because you can have more than one agent. And that's the big misconception too is, well, why I just can have one. I mean, no, you can have 2, 3, 4, 10. I mean, a whole bunch all working on the same transaction for you.
And they need to know. You should tell them all that you, I mean, this should
well,
be.
Well,
that
has to be in the agreement.
Yeah,
it has to be signed,
right,
and disclosed. But you're making that aware of, hey, look, if I don't know what I'm doing, but I know you know I'll take care of you. I'm going to go find another agent who knows this, and I'm going to stay a part of it because I'm keeping everything good and I'm doing that. That's ethical.
You got to start somewhere, right? But so you disclose that the agent says, I don't know everything about this, but I'll do my best and I'll find out, right?
Yep.
That's fine. If they say, oh no, I got this, and they don't, that's a violation of the code of ethics.
Yep. Yeah, that's
and you can report them to the grievance committee, to the local authority of the...
Well, you go talk to the broker first, and then you can go up the chain.
Yeah, right, to make sure. Make sure that this was a violation.
Mm-hmm.
But as the public, as other real estate agents,
mm-hmm.
the only way this is upheld is by people reporting and talking and holding it to the high standard. So there was this survey done a few years ago, and they asked where real estate agents rated in trust, and they were just above used car salesmen. That needs to change because as an agent, you should find someone you can trust to take care of one of the largest financial decisions you're going to make.
Well, and then it comes back to understanding and how that goes. A lot of questions are, you know, you'll get, I've been interviewed by clients, okay? Now, the problem I have with some of the interview questions is they just print them off the internet, and some of them are pretty good, but you also have to look at it. Just because an agent hasn't done 70 transactions does not mean that they're not a good agent. And sometimes the ones that have done 70 transactions aren't good agents either. Okay?
Yeah. They just have a mass production team underneath them.
Yeah, their name isn't a lot. Or they just have been unethical for 70 transactions. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best agent. Like, talk to some of their previous clients. Ask for permission to call some of them. Get that in-depth of what's actually going on. How is that going to be pursued? How am I going to be presented? Ask those type of questions on that, not how much are you making? Because if an ethical and a good agent, it's a thing. But you should talk about it. There's nothing wrong with talking about it. You know, if you're under if you're in an agreement with an agent, whether you're buying or selling, okay, and you happen to do this right here in Utah, and all of a sudden you have a friend from another state, California, Nevada, Montana, wherever. And now they're advising you, where?
Rhode Island,
you know. They're advising you now on real estate. What's your opinion on that?
Well this has happened to us.
Yeah, this is story time.
Yeah, it's time for, let's have story time with Eric and Tyler. That was Eric and Tyler. transaction wrote. So in this example, we had a seller, a high dollar seller that we were trying to help. They had someone who was close to them who is an agent. But they're not licensed in Utah. They're licensed in another state. And these individuals were selling their home, and Eric and I were helping them sell their home. And they were also buying a home. And this individual was helping them buy a home in another state. And so that's kind of...
That's all good. That's all fine.
Nothing wrong with this so far. Now, there were some challenges with the purchase transaction, so in another state. This particular agent did not take time to come and contact us and find out what's going on and figure out how they should structure their deal and timelines and earnest money, things like that. Okay, and so there ended up being some pressure. There was a pinch to the to the buyers, who were also our sellers,
who put down more earnest money than they were receiving,
mm-hmm.
with a tighter closing deadline, mm-hmm. than they were getting.
Mm-hmm.
So they have two.
Yes.
Major pressure points,
mm-hmm.
at a huge disadvantage to these buyers, your sellers.
Yes. And we have an entire episode about domino transactions. You should go back and watch that. But anyway, that's what was going on in this transaction. And unbeknownst to us, this individual, who was much closer to the seller than we were, was also advising the seller regarding Utah real estate law. Now, we're starting to run into ethical challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And
legal issues.
And legal issues and all kinds of problems. And there was some friction between the sellers and us. And ultimately, it came to a pretty heated, I don't want to say argument, but
discussion.
A heated discussion. And the sellers were saying, well, we don't want to pay your commission. We don't feel like you've done a good job selling our property. And we started investigating that a little bit more. Why do you feel that way? And it came out that this other individual who was really close to the agent, or really close to the seller, this agent, was advising them to do things that were neither ethical nor legal in the state of Utah. Mm-hmm. And because we weren't doing these things, the seller was under the impression that we had breached our fiduciary responsibility to the client. Mm-hmm. And they alleged an ethical violation on our part. And so, I mean, this went very deep. We were obviously very concerned about that. And, I mean, how do we respond, Eric? Like, what was the resolution here?
Well, one, we went back and reviewed everything that we did and went, yeah, we didn't make a mistake. We know what we did, and we're good. Then we went and spoke to our broker and did everything. And then she went, okay, I get it. I see where stuff's at. But then she confronted and talked to them and ended up having the transaction go through.
Yeah, it went through.
Okay, everything got happy and everything went good. We didn't press any issues. We didn't press any legal issues, and there was no legal issues actually pressed against us. But it definitely could have gone. I mean, there was a tipping point where it was about to get nasty, and there's no point for that. And a lot of that stuff all could have been resolved if there was some ethical thinking on how can I better take care of my client. If I would have just asked a few more questions, if I would have done a little bit better, how did I present? I presented an offer for them without knowing anything else of where they're getting their money from.
So let's be more clear though. The agent in the other state,
yes,
presented an offer,
yes,
without knowing the,
right,
details,
yeah,
of their sell, without knowing their fiscal capability.
Well, and you look at, I mean, you can train that domino all the way down. That purchase, the agent in that other state that they were buying the home from, if they found out, they could have pressed and said, you presented an unethical offer knowing that they could never actually,
yeah,
make the deal happen
perform,
because,
yeah,
their dates weren't correct. They weren't going to, and you said that we could close when there was no way that it was
so
actually
going to
happen.
So you're talking about the listing agent in the other state,
yeah,
yes,
could have sought action against their buyer's agent,
mm-hmm,
in that other state that was representing your sellers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of big things, and that's where it comes back to that fiduciary duty of, are you taking care of your client the best way you can?
Yeah.
Are you being honest to them? Are you asking good questions? Are you letting them know?
So what are good questions to ask? For a client, if you are thinking about hiring an agent to buy or sell your home, what should they ask?
The client ask the agent?
Yeah. How do you know you've got a good agent?
Okay. Well, before we get into too many of those, put some of your questions down in the comments, okay? Because,
ooh,
we like to hear the different,
yes,
comments.
I have agent friends who watch this. Comment below, like,
yes,
what are the best questions to ask?
Because we want to know what information, like, I have questions that I would ask, but
so
I also already know.
Opinion,
a little
I think
bit.
We kick that out to another video. We say, hey, we're going to do this video in the future. And then we have some,
okay,
like,
how to interview an agent.
How to
interview
an
agent. Ask a bunch of questions.
Yeah,
let's get a load
questions
of questions
there
and send them to us directly. Put them in the comments and we'll do a whole nother video and we'll interview the questions. We'll
like
take
that.
Those questions,
yeah,
on.
We'll put some of outside the camera and ask us the questions. We'll
like,
oh,
I don't know.
No, and then we'll do that and then watch that. And then I think that'd be really good, actually.
It's going to be fun. Cool. So to bring it back to ethics then, there's really two phrases that kind of embody how ethics is practiced and whether or not your agent is being ethical. Now bear in mind, your clients, our clients, may not know that they're asking us to do something unethical.
It's true. Or
flat
out illegal.
But the agent is trained, and the agent should, that's a big should, the agent should intervene and say, actually, here, I have some concerns with this, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
These are the legal or ethical implications of the action you're seeking.
Right. And the first one is intention. Like, what do you intend to do? And we see this all the time. Jason's talked about it before with lending. Like, if you're going to own or occupy a property, that is an intention. You intend to do so. And you stipulate that at the time to the loan officer and say, I intend to occupy this property.
You sign a paper at,
yeah,
settlement.
Now,
that application.
Exactly. You go through all this. Now you move forward into the transaction, you complete the transaction, and then 6 months later, something happens and there's non-payment on that loan. That lender is going to come out and take a look at what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're going to knock on the door and they go, hey, I'm looking for Eric in this house. And it's not Eric, it's Sarah.
Oh, okay.
That's your alter ego, Eric, just, if you ever wondered. Now, anyway, and now it's not owner-occupied. And the question is, did this person ever have the intention?
Yeah, they'll dig in. They'll see, oh, well, you know, his job changed and he had to move. Okay, he didn't. That was current at the time of application. He had no plans on doing that.
Yeah.
And then
unless his job
happened.
Unless his job changed before
he
closed
and then
the
there
property.
Was stuff.
He knew he had to leave.
Exactly.
He wasn't occupied.
Yeah.
So then your intention changes. Now, this all comes back to ethics, right? If you have an intention to do something proper and legal and good, you're not going to run afoul. But if you have an intention to misrepresent, if you have an intention to do something untoward or under the table or hide something, your agent should catch that intention and stop it in its tracks.
Well, and typically, if you have to think about it for a second, it's most likely.
There may be an ethical challenge there.
There may not be there. And then that's where, if they have questions, make sure your agent just says, you know, I don't know, but I'll go ask a broker. I'll go ask.
Yeah.
And then they can say, no, that's legal and ethical. You're fine because you're doing this. And then you go, oh, okay, I am doing that. Okay, that makes sense now.
Right. Communication, but, communication, communication.
Yes.
Ask the questions.
That second phrase that I wanted to tack on there is good faith. And we hear this all the time. Jason, what does it mean to act in good faith?
So, act as if everything is going to be the way you're representing. So, if you offer a price for a home, that's the price you're really willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you went to a mechanic and said, how much does it cost to repair this? You would hope that the cost of repairs were somewhat where their quote was.
Yeah.
Right? The good faith.
So agents on the selling side, act in good faith. Agents on the buying side, act in good faith. The lender acts in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is trying to represent their intention as accurately as possible, which is why we have written documents.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to represent that in good faith. Now, what happens is if somebody's trying to, they're alleging that they're acting in good faith, but they're really not acting in good faith, there's going to come a time where that becomes evident. And one or other, or someone is going to pick up on it and say, I don't think you are acting in good faith.
Yeah.
So like the golden rule is like, often when I teach about ethics, that's what they say, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. If you're thinking, how can we hide this? How can we suppress this?
Imagine that happening to you. So one of the biggest ones that we see is knowingly submitting an offer with terms that you know you aren't going to take. Whether it's
deadlines,
price.
Yes.
You know, you as an agent know, and you've told your clients, don't worry, let's submit this, tie it up under contract, and then we'll get the price lowered later.
Yeah,
you
the appraisal
knowingly
will come back.
Do that. You know, if it happens and you went, hey, we can try this and it might happen, different. But if you know you do that and then you knew from the very beginning, that's unethical.
Right. Right. Okay. We cover everything?
I think
pretty
so.
Pretty much.
So what did we learn today?
Oh, you stole it.
Yeah.
Well, my key takeaway is that when you're acting in good faith, you are acting in such a way that you're not trying to hide something or misrepresent. And when you're acting in good faith, you're going to be pretty clear of ethical challenges.
It's important to interview your agent to make sure that they can take care of you the best way possible.
Well, remember, that's why we also have contracts in place, so that way there's written documentation that you are ethically bound to these clients.
This podcast is ethically sourced. It is ethically produced by ethical people. You should ethically like it and ethically subscribe to it.
No realtors were harmed in filming this video.
If you want to get in touch with us, shoot us a text at 801-228-7687. Make sure you mention the show. You can email us at theutahrealestateshow@gmail.com. You can watch this show on YouTube, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you learned something, or if you really love this show, give us a like on YouTube and drop a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The Utah Real Estate Show is a production of Hive Collective at Presidio Real Estate with support from Security Home Mortgage. The NMLS number for Security Home Mortgage is 178787. The NMLS number for Jason Christiansen is 240472, Equal Housing Lender. Not only is this not legal or investment advice, but you should definitely talk to a pro before you make any real estate decision. Every situation is different and should be considered in context. Copyright Jason Christiansen, Eric Wist, and Tyler Kazare. All rights reserved.
Talk to you next week.
Tyler, do you think this is ethical?
That's what we're talking about today.
That was a little long.
You didn't feel me. I thought you guys were going to stop talking or stop
whispering. All right, let's do this again.
All right.
I kind of like the hot breath on my ear. They're not lined up. So line it up, people. I have to... Yeah. Do it again.
Right. Okay. We cover everything?
I think
pretty
so.
Much.
So what did we learn today?
Oh, you stole it.
Yeah.
Well, my key takeaway is...
Remember that I stole Eric's remember. I have no idea what I'm going to say.
When I heard that R come out, I was like, damn, Jason, how are you going to get around this one? Well, that's a pretty good way of getting around it.
This podcast is ethically sourced. Crap.
Sourced?
This podcast is ethically...
I can't even say it.
No realtors were harmed in the making of this video.
I can't say the word ethics.
I can't say ethics.
Is there a subliminal issue there?
No.
Great. Works for me.